Hi, how are you today? My name is Diane Ivy. I am the owner of Lady Di Yarns. We are an eco-friendly, hand-painted yarn company that's inspired by street art, and we are based in Boston. We are in over 30 stores nationally and growing. I want to welcome you to our first episode of our podcast. It's a podcast that we're still coming up with a name for it. We haven't thought about it yet. So at the end of this, if you want to shoot me an email or put on Facebook on an idea for a name for the podcast, that would be great. But this podcast is aimed to represent the diverse population in the yarn industry. And I would like to actually introduce you to Mackenzie.
Hey. So my name is Mackenzie. I am a knitter and a teacher at local yarn stores, and I've been doing that for the past few years. I have been living in California until now, and I'm living in Boston currently. The last 2 years, I was working at a store in Oakland, California, and now I'm working at one in Jamaica Plain.
All right. Well, thank you for doing this and talking about very important issues. So I decided to do a podcast focusing on the diverse representation of the yarn industry, because we actually lack it. We don't see a diverse representation in the yarn industry. And I was inspired several months ago. I wrote a blog post about the lack of diversity in the yarn industry. And I was inspired by Viola Davis. She won an Emmy, and she talked about in Hollywood that you can't win awards if there are no roles there for you. And she was talking about not only for women, but women of color. And it really resonated with me because I've attended two national shows, one a trade show, one a conference. And I was the only African-American business owner there. And I'm not talking about out of 50 businesses. I'm talking about over 100, 150 businesses that are at a trade show and being the only African-American business owner there. And what that meant for me and what I have seen in the industry, for most of you, you might live in a city, you might live in a rural area or a suburban area, and you might have pocketfuls of different minority people in your group, or maybe you don't have any. And maybe this doesn't affect you at all. You might not think it affects you, but it does affect you, because there are minority people who knit and crochet. And so I wrote this blog post, and I received a lot of thank yous, and I did receive some negative comments, and I'm okay with that. But a lot of people have asked, like, where are you going to go to next? And it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to do. I just don't want to complain about it. I actually want to do something about it. And the only way to do something about it is to talk about it. And so that's why we're doing this podcast. And so I want to thank Viola Davis for inspiring me to write this blog post. And I want to point out to you another reason why I think this podcast is important and why it's important to talk about diversity, Mackenzie, because we actually, I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago that about a year or 2 years ago, there was a yarn swap that I went to, and people were giving away some magazines. And so I love vintage anything. It doesn't have to be knitting stuff, but there were some vintage knitting magazines. So I grabbed like most of them. Like maybe there were 20 of them. I probably grabbed like 18. Sorry. So I picked up one, and people know that I love Fair Isle. I love doing color work. And so I picked up this magazine, and I'm holding it right now. It's from the 1940s. It's from Stitchcraft. It's number SC11, Stitchcraft is actually a British publication, and I think they might still be in existence, but it's changed. And so they have this issue called Fair Isle for All. And if you have this magazine, you can actually get it off your shelf or wherever it's at, and you can flip to page, 22 and 23. And, you know, one of the big things we talk about diversity, during the 1940s, or actually when publications started coming out, minorities were not represented in any of this. Just want to point that out. We were not represented. Blacks, Asians, Latinos, you name it. It was all white men, white women. And, you know, they have this pattern for this Fair Isle sweater. And when you do fair isle, you're working with different colors. So they have emerald, they have gold, and they have rust. And then to describe the word black, they use the word nigger. Okay? And I'm looking at it right now. This to you might be, well, that was way back in the 1940s. But let's remember that in the 1940s, even in the 1950s and 60s, what happened to the African Americans during that time? Did we have rights? You know, so, you know, even though this was in the past, we still actually, in today, we still have racial issues that we're dealing with, not only in the media, but you can see with the whole Black Lives Matter movement. But when we talk about who's had a head start with their, I guess we say, with representation of people who look like them, we were not represented. We were, the derogatory word nigger was used to describe the color black in a knitting magazine. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah. I mean, Diana and I sort of started talking after that initial blog post where I was like, well, yeah, like, I feel like specifically the yarn store that I was working at in Oakland was like very involved in the yarn industry, and the owner is very like is an awesome businesswoman, and so we had a lot of conversations about what that was looking like, and you know, we had to consider who was coming into our store to buy stuff. So we had like knitters who would seek us out to come to, but we also had people who were walking by on the street who lived in the neighborhood. And so this is sort of how that conversation started, was we were just like, okay, this is my experience working in these stores and people coming in and asking for yarn and me basically them feeling like they were turned away because we just didn't have a price point low enough for them, or because we only carried wool, like the cheapest ball of yarn was like at least $10. And so thinking about that and thinking about working at Stitches West in California, and thinking about like who was coming to that and just like my interactions with people who could afford to buy yarn there. And I see a lot of, you know, sort of middle class or upper class women who buy a lot of yarn and like talk about their stashes, but don't actually make a lot. And so this was another aspect of what we were talking about, where it's like, we are like a local yarn store, or we're like a company like Diane, and we're trying to basically survive doing this thing that we really, really love. And but who are our customers? Like, who can afford to do that? And
maybe also in addition, I mean, I want to point out that like we have socioeconomic issues in America based up not just on, doesn't necessarily have to be on race, but if you break it down, there is a huge disparity in the socioeconomic divide amongst minorities to non-minorities. And I just want to put that out there. But I also want to put out there that, you know, depending on where you live, like I live in the city, I live in Boston, and I work a couple days a week at a yarn store while Lady Di Yarns continues to grow. And it's a great place to work, but it's also great to do market research. And I do see minority women and men who do actually spend money on, you know, yarn that's over $10. But you do have a level, you do have a big socioeconomic divide when you break it down with race. But I want to also just put, and I say that too, because there is a shift turning a little bit when we talk about the socioeconomic issues. The Nielsen Company, some of you may or may not know who the Nielsen Company is, but they, you know, when you watch a sporting event like the Super Bowl and they say what the ratings are or the award show, how many people watch it. The Nielsen Group is a media research company, and they also do a lot of consumer reporting related to media and internet. And they actually did a report back in 2013 on the state of Latino, Asians, and African Americans and their consumer buying power. And so with African Americans, there are 43 million African Americans in the United States. That's a 13.7%, that's 13.7% of the American population. It's the second largest minority group. The 47% are under the age of 35 years of age. And by 2017, African Americans' buy power is estimated to be $1.3 trillion. And if you look at the Latino population, it's 56 million people. That's 17.6% of our population. And by 2017, the Latino population's buy power will be $1.7 trillion. And then if you look at the Asian population, which actually is the fastest growing multicultural segment in the United States right now at 58%, they have 19 million people represented in the United States, and their household incomes have soared tremendously. And when you look at the Asians, Latinos, and African Americans, our buy power has continued to increase. We are shopping more, and we are spending more, but we don't have the representation in media, in public, you know, all levels of media, the internet, publications,
advertising.
It's not geared. We don't see our people, and that needs to change, because we have the opportunity. Not only I think it's important to support local businesses when we talk about consumerism on a national level, but there are minority business owners like myself who are growing in the yarn industry, since we're focusing on that. And I know that there are other minority people out there in this industry. And this is an opportunity for us. I want to say that if you are a minority in the yarn industry, we need to start getting vocal. We need to start getting vocal, and we need to start promoting each other, and we need to start creating our own community, because our people are increasing in buying power. And we are, if we all support each other, we can live, I guess you say, live off of our work that we do.
Yeah, and, you know, we were talking a lot about, like, that magazine representation, especially with, like, the big companies in the yarn industry, like Interweave and, you know, even, like, smaller indie publications, and just talking about not seeing that representation, or seeing it and, like, having a Black woman on the cover and her being super light-skinned, or seeing Black representation but only with, like, tribal inspired knits, you know? And it's like, what message is that representation sending? And it's like, it's very frustrating to sort of be pigeonholed like as any minority.
And I will say that, like, we also had a discussion about men. Men knit, all right? Let's stop thinking that it's just a women thing. I think that men have been knitting for longer than women have, like, when you think about the history of it. And I see it more that men are now knitting at knitting stores, coming to buy yarn, but they are not represented well in the knitting industry, too. Or it's a stigma of, well, if you knit, then you must be a gay man. And I know straight men who knit, I know transgender men that knit, and gay men. It doesn't matter. I feel that we need to be more inclusive. This is 2015. We're entering 2016 in a month, and we are a much more diverse society, and every industry needs to improve on this. This is not, and I want to say this for people who are represented, and I just being honest, I'm talking about white men and women. It's not diminishing that we want you to go away. We want to be included in representation. That's really important to understand. It's not saying that white people need to not be in publications. It's saying that other people should be included with you, because that's the makeup of America. I want to put that out there in case people are really flipping out and a little crazy right now about what we're talking about.
Well, and it's not just racial diversity either. It's like people with disabilities who are knitters, and what resources are there for them, and people, again, like with different genders. And then Diane and I have talked a lot about, like, body size, like as full-figured women,
okay?
And, like, trying to find knitting patterns, trying to find sewing patterns, you know, they're only going to go up to a specific size. So there's a lack of diversity in a lot of different elements in this, but the yarn industry is just a reflection of the society that we're in. But we have an opportunity now, and we want to talk about this, to be more radical and to be deciding to do things differently.
And I will say that, you know, we hear in the news so much about, you know, high fashion. We're talking about Michael Kors. We're talking about Zara. You know, we're talking about all those really named big brands and skinny models and whatnot. The yarn industry, though, a lot of us create our own knitting patterns. We're designers, and we knit it ourselves. And I have to say that I've always been disappointed in the plus size section of knitting patterns because, one, it makes most of us who are younger look like we're way older. It's not flattering. They always say, "Oh, these are for plus size knitting that make you look good." Let's just stop that. There really isn't that much out there. And do I need to lose weight? Absolutely. Am I healthy? I am. I can go on the treadmill for 45 minutes without stopping. I could eat better, but at the same time, it doesn't matter if I'm skinny, medium size, big. I want to be able to wear something or make something that I would look decent in.
Well, I feel like that's even besides the point. Like, I am this size now. It doesn't make sense for me to be making clothes or thinking about clothes as a different size. Like, I've been the same size for many years. Mm-hmm. And so I need to feel comfortable with how I am. And it just doesn't, like, none of those other elements, like, factor into this. Like, I, like, health and fitness and whatever, like, this is how I am. And, like, it again, like, I need to feel comfortable now or else, like, my mental health is going to suffer and all of that. And that's not to say that there aren't people who are doing it, but it's just not, like, widely represented. Like, it's just, it's, like, hard to find. And, like, that's bullshit. Like,
so, you know, and I have to say that, like, when I look at designers, and I will say that Jared Flood, I remember when Jared Flood started, I started knitting his patterns and followed his blog posts, and he's come a long way. If you know Jared Flood, he's the owner of Brooklyn Tweed. He's got a yarn line out, but he's known for his pattern designs and some really nice chic urban, some country stuff, but mostly I think little suburban edgy. And if you look at his bags, if you look at his patterns or his websites, I do feel as a designer, he has shown a lot of diversity in his models. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that when it comes to plus size, that's the case, because I think across the board and even in Vogue, you don't really see that. They might come up with like a special issue. But when you're talking about ethnicity, I actually do think that Jared Flood is leading the way. If you really look at, design houses, I would say in the knitting world, I've seen quite a bit of his stuff showing a representation, but that's just one.
Well, and like, you know, Quince and Co, you could say the same thing about, like, there is like some consideration of including diverse models and there's just more to be done. Like,
there's a lot more to be done. And this is where this podcast is coming into play. And it's also coming into play moving forward with how Lady Di Yarns, when we do blog posts or we're on Facebook, I really am going to focus not only on growing my business, because that's really important to me. And I love, you know, being inspired by graffiti, which, you know, is urban. And a lot of people don't understand the history. Graffiti was born in America. It was born out of New York. And it started in the minority community. And now it's a global thing. And it's global art that has had a profound impact not only on young kids growing up, but on the political stage today. But I want to focus on highlighting designers, publications, knitting bloggers who are a different of all shades of the rainbow, but who are also promoting diversity. It's not just going to be about bringing on a lot of Latinos and Asians and Blacks on the podcast or writing posts about them, but other people, white people, who are making a difference in bringing attention to diversity in the yarn industry. I think it's important. I think we should talk about it. Just because you think it doesn't affect you, it does affect you. And think about your friend who might be a minority who does not see him or her in a publication. How do you think that they feel? You know, I want you to take a second to think about that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we really would love to get your feedback on what you think. What do you think is the state of diversity in the like yarn industry? That is actually a really big question. If you would like to email me, my email address is Diane, D-I-A-N-E, at LadyDieYarns.com. Or you can go to our Facebook page, which is Lady Die Yarns. And our website is LadyDieYarns.com. LadyDieYarns.com. I want to thank you for listening to our first podcast. We hope that you enjoyed it. And we know that it's holiday season. So we hope that you guys are taking time to spend time with your family. And we actually will have a holiday special podcast, which I'm really excited about. Check out my blog post for more information to come in the upcoming week. Thank you.
Cool. Bye.